This is the 13th of February, 1987. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Senate Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources.
Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee will come to order. Clerk will note the members present. The others are excused. We have on the agenda today a public hearing on Senate Bill 180. And from the sign-up, Chuck Bennett is signed up first. Chuck Bennett. Oh, before you start, let me have Mr. Green explain the measure to us. You can sit down, but just hold on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief explanation. Senate Bill 180 would establish a clear and concise and enforceable definition of the practice of veterinary medicine. SB 180 would allow the Veterinary Medical Examining Board to charge fees for the following: license renewals, examinations for licensure, temporary licenses, duplicate licenses, animal technician licenses, delinquent renewals, and applications and certifications for certified euthanasia technicians and employers. SB 180 requires that the fees and charges described by the bill may not exceed the cost of administering the regulatory program of the board. SB 180 would require the two types of animal technicians described in Section 8, Subsection 2 of the bill to pass an examination administered by the Veterinary Medical Examining Board. SB 180 would establish explicit rulemaking authority for the board. The bill would allow the board to use written, oral, or practical exams and adopt rules concerning passing scores on any exam it offers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Chuck Bennett. I'm here representing the Oregon Chiropractic Physicians Association. Our concerns, briefly, are contained on page 2, lines 25 through 28, which is section 3, sub 4 of the bill, and on page 4, line 18, which is section 7, sub 3 of the bill. We see those two portions of Senate Bill 180 combined, creating some confusion among at least the chiropractic physicians. I've submitted to you a letter from the vice chairman of the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Dr. Steve Gardner, who was unable to be here today because of a prior commitment out of town. He asked that this be submitted into evidence. I think it will outline quite specifically what the concern is. Chiropractic physicians are confined by statute to work on the human body. There is no indication in the statute in Chapter 684 of the Practice Act that there is any authorization by the legislature, nor is there in the rules of the board itself any indication that there's authorization for chiropractors to be working on the bodies of any other species. We would prefer not to be included in this bill. The main reason, quite simply, is that we think that the two sections put together could quite possibly authorize the Board of Veterinary Medicine to take some interest in the scope of practice of chiropractic physicians by expanding their ability to go into animal husbandry, which they are not interested in doing. And secondly, that a veterinarian operating under these this proposed statute, and I would assume the intended rules that would follow, could quite well lead a chiropractor into violation of their own practice act, and the result could be a complaint from an animal owner to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners regarding the treatment their animal received at the hands of the chiropractor, thereby resulting in some problems for that chiropractor. The board assures me that would be the case if a member of our association decided to engage in animal treatment. So I would ask that you at least remove chiropractic physicians from that. I would also suggest to you that allied health fields be defined more clearly as to what it is exactly the Board of Veterinary Medicine is talking about. We certainly don't want by any implication to be included under their jurisdiction or to have their licensees leading our licensees down the primrose path.
Mr. Bennett, I want to just get it straight. The combination was your concern on page 2, sub 4 of section 3, which
let's
talks
see,
about
section
the
section 3, sub 4, yes.
Yeah, and then the other concern was the fact that they could adopt rules.
Yes.
Was that the two
together, I think, are what create the problem. The first certainly is the one that we're most concerned about. I think when you add rulemaking authority to that, it just sort of compounds the problem.
Well, let me ask you, I confess I found the language in there a little mystifying, personally. What do you have any background as to what led to that kind of language? Was there a case where some chiropractor was allegedly practicing veterinary medicine, or I mean, what's going on here?
What's going on here, Mr. Chairman? I tried to find out. I asked the board at their recent meeting. I brought this bill to their attention and asked them if there had been complaints against chiropractic physicians for engaging in a practice outside of their scope. They don't have a complaint on file. Anything I would offer you at this point, I think, would be anecdotal. I suspect there are two problems being addressed here by the Board of Veterinary Medicine. One is the interest on the part of some veterinarians to use a chiropractor in a specific thing that they want to do with an animal, that perhaps a chiropractor offers some talent or training that would be of use to them. The other, I think, is probably a concern that there are chiropractors out there who are engaging this without veterinary guidance. And in both cases, the belief of our association, and I believe the board as well, I can reflect their belief, is that the chiropractor doing this should be reported to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, where they can be brought in and have again 684.010 discussed with them relative to what their scope of practice is.
The scope of practice that you gave to us, 684.010, pretty clearly states that the chiropractic work is on the bony framework of the human body.
Yes. And I think when you add to that the physiotherapy, electrotherapy, hydrotherapy, and minor surgery, we have enough question going on in this profession regarding its scope of practice without adding something in another statute that may create more confusion relative to chiropractic practice.
Yeah, I wanted to note the how unusual it was for the chiropractic profession coming and asking that their scope of practice be limited.
We tend to be here on other missions. This time it's one of, please don't include it.
What was the other page and line I missed at? You had page 2, line 26, and then where?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kintai, it's on page 4, line 18. And the concern there, certainly, it's only as you put it together with the language mm-hmm. that we're really concerned about, that yeah. that we see the potential for rulemaking that would just come roaring into 684.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we...
Well, we're not in a work session right now. Okay, we're just going to hear from people.
I was just saying amendment to that.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mr. Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Hilmer Bum? I'm not sure I said that right, but it's spelled kind of...
DVM.
Huh?
DVM.
Oh! Dr. Hilmer! I apologize.
That's all right.
DVM, right. Okay.
I think a doctor's writing leaves something to be desired. I apologize.
Well, it's not as bad as a number of physicians' writing, I must say. Proceed. Thank you. Identify yourself for the record, then proceed.
My name is Richard Hilmer. I'm a practicing veterinarian in Salem here. I'm representing myself at this point. I did want to speak, I guess, directly to what the representative of the chiropractors had to say, and I guess in most instances I would I agree. I mean, I can agree. My personal feeling is that a mistake was made, that this was a paragraph that shouldn't have been included in the first place in the Act. The paragraph regarding acupuncturists, chiropractors, etc., was included because of some... I happen to know of the specific case. It was because a chiropractor had called in and asked the Veterinary Board of Medicine if it was okay for him to practice with the referral of a veterinarian, and the veterinarian also contacted the board and had the same question. I guess there are two things tugging at me, listening to him and something else that I thought. I think he covered it well. The essence of what I think the veterinarians would want would be the capability to refer to people, to experts in specific, very specified areas. To me, after listening to him, that's what I think, and talking with some board members, that's what I would agree. But as their own practice act precludes members of their profession from treating non-human animals, I guess I think that I would overall have to agree.
I haven't looked at all the other practice acts for acupuncture, physical therapy, and massage, but my guess would be that they're all similarly limited. My guess. I don't know.
I would imagine so, too. The training really is quite species-specific. Their field is human.
Okay.
Ours is essentially non-human, and it makes really no sense to me. It would be like saying it would be okay for me to practice on humans if MD referred him to me. But the sense of, I think, what this was getting at, and maybe it could be reworded or something, is that in specific instances, you don't want to refer the entire case, but you may consult someone. And I think that was what the idea was. In the past, for example, animals had been referred to ophthalmologists or dentists for very specific work. You're working on a tooth, and you wanted some extra help, some expertise. And that's really I think that's the sense of it. So maybe it was a mistake to include, name people specifically in this.
Are you aware of anything in your Veterinary Practice Act that would prevent you from consulting with any other person about how you might go about treating something? Not asking them to do the treatment, but consulting them. Is there anything that would prevent you from doing that today?
I don't think so.
I mean, I would be surprised if there was.
Me too. I think I would defer to to the board members, perhaps.
Okay.
Dr. Loomis.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Dr. Hilmer.
Thank you, Senator.
Susan Loomis, who is on the Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Welcome. Identify yourself for the record and then proceed.
My name is Susan Loomis. I'm a practicing veterinarian in Bend, Oregon, and presently the president of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board. I have a statement that has been copied off and given to each of the senators, but I would like to address this item to begin with more specifically. It was the intent of the board use this situation as far as the chiropractor and the massage technician and so forth, not necessarily using them in general, but specifically stating that they are examples of the allied health professions that perhaps we were intending. You ask about relating to another field. It has been done in the past that veterinarians have ask dentists to perhaps put a crown on a dog's tooth. I know for certain that there have been people who have asked if chiropractors could work on their animals, and it simply was to an effort to cooperate with the other allied health professions. I can see the chiropractor's point of view, and we feel that as a board that during a work session that this could probably be worked out very, very efficiently.
Say that again. I didn't quite hear what you just said.
So during a work session, we feel that this could probably be worked out amicably.
Okay. Do you have any amendments that you would propose to make it more workable, or would it be simply to delete sub 4?
We could do either of those things, but perhaps the board would like to say a practitioner of allied health professions and deleting such as acupuncture, physical therapy, chiropractic therapy, and massage therapy may practice the profession on animals without violating this chapter.
Okay, now the question that then raises is if a
if an acupuncturist or a chiropractor within their scope of practice is not allowed to work on animals. I mean, they're violating their own scope, not That's never correct. Mind this chapter.
That's correct.
It kind of creates an interesting situation in the law, because on one part of the law we're saying they can do this, and another part of the law we're saying they can't.
We just felt that in using it there, that we were trying to cooperate them with them if they so desired doing something like this.
I commend that. Okay. I don't mean to sound, it's actually, frankly, kind of unusual in these professions to see that kind of cooperation. It's kind of delightful.
But if it is against your practice act, we can certainly understand that, too, and it would not be against our purposes to delete that entire session if necessary.
Well, we should probably get, we should do a little research and see whether all of you're broadening it so that it's not specific to those four professions, but we should at least find out whether those four professions are specifically limited to working on humans. And if those four are, then it's probably fairly broad-based that that's the situation.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kinney.
Perhaps it could be stated that they could work in consultation with or something like that, so that they wouldn't just be on their own working on the animal, but working with a veterinarian.
Well, we tried to make that clear, say as on referral from a licensed veterinarian for treatment or therapy specified by that veterinarian.
Right. That's why I was asking whether their practice act prevented them from consulting with anybody they wanted to talk to, because I don't think it does.
Consulting is one thing, but there have actually been cases where members of the allied health profession have actually worked on animals. Performed actual procedures on these animals.
That's interesting, because I don't have any problem with having a dentist put a filling in on a dog just like a person. I don't have any problem with that. If you don't, if it's under your
the profession has gotten lately so that we do have a lot of specialists in each field. We have dentistry, we have a veterinary acupuncturist, but certain parts of the country do not actually have these people available, and so it is nice to be able to refer to a human if we feel that need.
I'm intrigued. There is actually in Oregon a veterinary acupuncturist?
I don't know if there's one in the state of Oregon, but
there is one in this country.
It's in Portland.
Really? That's wonderful.
Okay.
That's great. Okay. I want to work with you on this, because I don't have any problem, you getting help from these other professionals. It's just a matter of, I guess we better bring the other professionals along to make them comfortable, because it's...
And word it correctly so that there's no problem.
Hope the dentist changed his drills before he works on me.
No, we could put that in here. Right here.
Shall I proceed with the statement?
Yes, please go ahead. Okay. Thank you.
Senate Bill 180 is presented to you today for your scrutiny. We, the members of the veterinary community, hope that you will agree that ORS Chapter 686 needs revision. Many of the proposed changes make the present statute much more concise and readable. More specifically, the changes can be categorized into three parts. Senate Bill 180, number 1, redefines and clarifies the practice of veterinary medicine. Number 2, allows the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board more leniency in offering examinations to applicants for a license in veterinary medicine, and allows the board to impose additional fees necessary for its operation. Number 3, grants the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board rulemaking authority. I would like to address most of these changes individually and then direct any questions to a member of the profession perhaps best qualified to answer. Section 1, ORS 686.010. The change here is the addition of a definition. An animal medical problem is defined so that it can be used and understood in the following sections. Section 2, ORS 686.020. This redefines and clarifies the practice of veterinary medicine in the state of Oregon. Performing the procedures listed here requires the person to have an adequate education in veterinary medicine and surgery, including but not limited to anatomy, physiology, pathology, surgery, pharmacology, and therapeutics. These procedures also require the use of drugs that must be used solely on the prescription of a veterinarian. The profession is interested not only in the welfare of the state's livestock and pets, but also in consumer protection. As the people of the state of Oregon are entitled to the best possible care for themselves, they are likewise entitled to only the best possible care for their animals. Section 3. This section points out the possible exceptions to the previous section. ORS 686-0402. It allows an individual or business to perform the above-mentioned acts upon his or her own animal as long as it's done in a competent and humane manner. We wish to eliminate 686-0403 because the concern of the veterinary community is that this will encourage pregnancy evaluation by people in the business of inseminating livestock. We feel that the deletion of this sentence should not have an ill effect on the artificial inseminating business in Oregon. ORS 686-040, number 4. The board wishes to cooperate with allied health practitioners by allowing them to practice their profession on animals as long as it's done upon referral of a licensed veterinarian. ORS 686-0406. As per Senate Bill 911 modifying ORS 475, euthanasia of animals in the state of Oregon must be done by lethal injection, and therefore a currently certified euthanasia technician may inject sodium pentobarbital without violating this chapter. Section 4, ORS 686075. Nearly every, if not all, states require the National Board exam score from an applicant for a license to practice veterinary medicine and surgery. These proposed changes not only allow the board to require the National Board exam in addition to the State Board exam, but also any other exam that the board may deem pertinent. Section 5, ORS 686080, the board has seen a need for additional fees necessary to its operation. The board needs to impose fees for any examination it gives for licensure, including the State Board exam and the National Board exam. The previously mentioned Senate Bill 911 promulgated that euthanasia of animals be done solely by lethal injection. The Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board was required to regulate the euthanasia technicians, but at that time there was no provision for funding that program. This section allows for such a fee. Sections 8 and 9, 686350 and 686370. This changes animal technician to animal health technician. This term is the norm approved throughout the states. It also eliminates the grandfather clause portion stating that the individual not graduating from a formal educational program in animal health technology can apply for and take the state exam as long as he or she has had a minimum of 4 calendar years of on-the-job training with a licensed veterinarian, those 4 years being at any time and not necessarily before 1975 as stated in the current law. Backing up to section...
Let me back you up here a minute. I just want to understand this.
Okay.
Does it eliminate...
The current law states that the individual can take the state board exam as long as they've had a formal education in animal health technology or they've had 4 years of practice prior to 1975.
And now you're saying they can take it either they got trained at school or they've had 4 years of practice, period. Great, okay.
Section 7, ORS 686210. The Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board is presently the only state board without express rulemaking authority. The board needs the authority to adopt rules that will fit specific circumstances that are presently unforeseen. The present board has been frustrated time and again with our inability to rule on a complaint simply because it is not encompassed in the current Practice Act. We are a board with the purpose of public protection. At times it has been very difficult to perform this function under the present statute. It is possible that after so many complaints ruled as non-violations, the public could assume that we are protecting our own profession. As said before, the passage of Senate Bill 180 would hopefully bring the veterinarians of the state under more scrutiny than the present law allows.
Let me interrupt you here again.
Okay.
The board does not currently have expressly authorized rulemaking authority. What do you do with complaints today?
We are able to handle the complaints as long as it is listed within our Practice Act, as long as that complaint, the scope of that complaint is within our Practice Act.
So what would rulemaking authority do for that?
We presently do. May I ask Angela Ellaby?
Sure, absolutely.
To explain the rulemaking authority that we have at this time.
Respected Senator Bradbury, I'm Angela Ellaby, the Executive Secretary of the Veterinary Board. Right now, according to our the interpretation of our Attorney General, we have strictly limited interpretive rulemaking authority. If something is specifically stated in our Practice Act, we can write a rule about it. Last year, we had a very notorious case involving dead animals dumped along a wayside, which involved two things: dead animal disposal, cleanliness of a clinic, and a record keeping. Well, it involved three things. None of those things are specifically listed in our statute, and we had to go looking through our statute for analogies or similar twos before we could come up with a disciplinary action. Express rulemaking authority would give us the authority to write rules covering those situations that have come up in past complaints that previously we had to do similar twos and this is likes.
Okay, so you could currently, if someone clearly violates the existing law, you can deal with that. I mean, you can discipline them or whatever. I mean, there's no problem there.
The existing
under
law.
You go ahead with it. I'm going to want to talk to you more about these rules, but not right this minute.
Okay. Basically, that takes care of the Senate bill. My conclusion is, on behalf of the board, I would encourage you, the members of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, to positively evaluate Senate Bill 180. It is a product of many long hours of work by the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board, the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association, and legal counsel, as well as input from many concerned veterinarians from throughout the state. If passed, it will provide a more succinct statute that is certain to benefit the livestock, pets, and people of the state of Oregon.
Okay, I got a couple of questions, and please feel free to call up someone else if it's appropriate. First one is the farmer exemption that's in here. I mean, it's in what, section? I don't remember where it is, but it's an exemption if you have your own animal.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what I call a farmer exemption.
Okay.
I think about my livestock producers who regularly do things that are veterinary every day.
They're getting shots.
I just wanted to make sure, I mean, in terms of the changes you're making there from current law, I just wanted to make sure that we haven't done anything that makes it in any way more difficult for those who are legitimate livestock producers or owners of their own pets.
I don't believe that that is the case.
Okay, so there's not, well, and the question I had was, you have added some new language that talks about, currently the law says they can do it if they do it in a humane manner.
Mm-hmm.
You've now added the word competent, humane and competent manner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess I have, who decides whether it's competent or not?
I would assume that the board would decide that.
And it would just be, if somebody was really messing up, that would be another grounds for bringing them
violation
in to correct
trap.
Their
mm-hmm.
practices mm-hmm. or whatever. I'm just kind of curious about that one. Now, the other thing is the whole thing that you mentioned in your testimony about in Section 3 relating to the artificial insemination industry.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said was you want to eliminate sub 3 because you want to encourage pregnancy evaluation by people. No.
We do not want to encourage.
You do not want to encourage
pregnancy evaluation by artificial inseminating.
And who does pregnancy evaluation now?
Veterinarians.
And is that the only people that
should
do them?
Should be the only people. That's correct.
Okay. Is there getting to be a problem with people? I mean,
what we're feeling is that if the individual who is inseminating the animal determines pregnancy, that the evaluation of pregnancy has more to do than just with whether the fact is if that animal is pregnant or not. It has a lot to do with the reproductive health of that animal and the general health of that animal, and we feel that a veterinarian is the only one that should be qualified to do this.
Well, explain. Okay, that's all right. Explain to me why the deletion of sub 3 does not encourage people who are inseminating livestock to do pregnancy evaluation.
As it stands right now, a person in the business of inseminating livestock at the time of service may determine the status of pregnancy of livestock to be inseminated without violating this chapter. We feel that if an individual determines the pregnancy, there may be an inclination for that individual to maybe go out and state that he is diagnosing pregnancy. If there is a problem with that animal being pregnant, perhaps he is overstepping his bounds and finding additional things that may or may not be wrong with that animal that only a veterinarian should determine. I could ask a doctor.
I'm looking at the wrong. Okay, we're talking about Section 3. And then you're eliminating
lines 22, 23, and 24.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, you're replacing it with something else. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I was looking at what you were deleting.
We're deleting,
which has to do with pharmacists providing veterinary remedies.
No, lines 22, 23, 24.
No, that's the new language, but you're deleting the old language on 19, 20, and 21.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm trying to figure out what that has to do with. I don't think that does have anything to do with.
No, it doesn't. What we want to delete is the portion dealing with inseminating of livestock.
Okay,
we added it, and now we want to delete it.
Oh, you want to delete your
something
own?
We already added.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand.